Well, here we are. We are at the end. We have done now 10 weeks and 70 days and 350 wow. chapters, and we're not done because we want to continue to learn and grow and have these wonderful, intimate moments with the Lord as we believe you've been having, I know we've been having, as we get together and share what God has been saying. It's our prayer moving forward that you have relationships that will always challenge you to answer that question. What is God saying? Because he's talking. He wants to make himself known to you every day. He wants you to grow in him on a daily basis. And as we've kind of gotten to the end, we get to talk about happy endings, the glory of hope, and the hope of glory. And really, we'll come back and talk a little bit more about that. But I think we have to kind of set up the happy endings because it's really not an ending. Just like the time with the Lord is not an ending. We get to go on forever. But as you kind of move through the book of Revelation, you find that in chapter 19, there's rejoicing in heaven. Because the three main systems of the earth that are, they're ungodly systems that hurt people and oppress people and keep them from living the life that God intended all the way back at the beginning are broken. And as if you read up there, you find there's the financial system. The great Babylon has fallen. It's no more. You've got the religious system. It's been tore down because they've been worshiping the beast. And then, of course, you have the political system because you have now the entrance of Jesus, who's going to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And for those of us that were that died before or went in the rapture with him are going to come back with him and to rule and reign for 1,000 years. It's going to be 1,000 years where there are going to be people that have lived through the tribulation period, that there are going to be people who've not taken the mark of the beast that are going to continue to live. And they're going to live now a whole lot longer because, if someone dies at 100, they're going to be like a child because now, death has doesn't have the power that it had before. And at the end of the 1,000 years, you pick this up in Revelation chapter 20. Now you have this new heaven and new earth. And as it's talking about the new heavens, it really is talking about everything that your eyes look to see. As you look at the sun and the stars, that's going to be a total remake. The atmosphere, total remake. The earth, total remake. And now the Heavenly Father is going to come and live with man. Because you had the beginning back in Genesis where God makes Adam and he places him in a garden. Now God's going to come and live with man in a city because God is about improvement. I'm glad we're not going to live in tents throughout all of eternity, but now we're going to live with the Heavenly Father because from the very beginning, this is so important for us to get from the very beginning, God just really wants to hang out with you. God wants to be part of your life. He wants to enjoy the things he's placed on your heart to enjoy. He looks forward to the times that we come to him and we ask him to help us to grow and expand. And so we get this glimpse of this new heaven and new earth. And then in chapter 21, we just get this briefest moment of what life forevermore will look like. And it's just a small glimpse. There's just really so much that we don't know. When I think about even the 1,000-year reign of Christ, we got a little bit more picture there, as talked about in the book of Isaiah, and everyone's going to be able to really reap that which they sow. It's not going to be taken by man. You're not going to have the things that the old systems took away. But even in that, there's just such a small picture. I always think about it. If you've ever flown on an airplane and you got the window seat and you open that window and you looked out, it's really just the small view that you can look down and you can, press your head up against it and maybe, try to get a look a little forward, but it's just a little view. And I think a big reason why the Lord did that for you and I is that our walk with him, our life with him is about us growing in our faith in him. So in all of these things, I know and trust the Lord. It's going to be good. In fact, scripture just says that the life that we're living now, the challenges that we face when we step into that moment where we've got this full picture of eternity, everything before is going to pale in comparison, which is a big reason why you should live your life now for then. Uh, and And I don't know about you, but I know for me, I look forward to that. And so it's not really a happy ending. But what you find is that as you are walking with the Lord and He is growing in you, there is this glory that begins to radiate from you and in you because of the hope of that moment. And of course, there is that kind of a circle thing, the hope that comes into our hearts for the glory that waits. Because Jesus said this in the book of John. He says, Father, I want them to see the glory that you're bringing me to. I want them to see what I know I'm going to see when I'm back with you. Yeah. And boy, I tell you, if that doesn't excite you, Well, just simply you need Jesus.
You do. But it is exciting. And just remind you, as we have been journeying through these 350 chapters, we've done it under the title Redemption's Story, because that's the reality of it. It's the narrative, and not the exhaustive narrative, but enough of it to really fill you in and cause you some level of understanding of who God is, of how He thinks about humankind, how He values us, and what He has prepared for and provided for each one of us. But it's a story. It's a story. It's the story of Christ. It's the story of God and His relationship with humankind. It is redemption's story. And may I remind you, it begins once upon a time. And it does. It does. In the book of Revelation, it ends. And I love fairy tales that end this way: happily ever after. Now notice, it doesn't say it's a happy ending. It says they lived happily ever after. And there's the reality. That's why it's really hard to say, well, it's just the ending. No, it kind of ends in the middle. It kind of ends in this, with this dot, if you will. You know, if you've ever watched a movie or watched a show, I think sometimes it's really frustrating, especially if it's one that I just happen upon and I get really engrossed in. And then I get to the end of it and it says to be continued. And I just want to go, you know, because I want to know more. I want to participate. I want to see what is next. And that's the way, when you read through the book of Revelation, this is how it ends. It does. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem, this glorious thing that God has brought some things to a close, but some things He has just brought to a whole brand new beginning. And so it's a really powerful, powerful truth. And it exposes this hope that we have that you spoke of really well. Jesus said it, you know, this is the glory that I had with the Father before the world began. And I want everyone who believes in me, I want my people, I want the Christ Life crew to share this same glory. I want them to experience this same thing. And so it is the hope of glory, but it also is the glory of our hope. We have this hope in us. And when we have this hope in us, we are now driven, we're now motivated, we are now moved to serve the Lord. We are moved to share the faith with others. We are moved to make certain sure steps, to make your salvation sure, is what the scripture says. And so this is the reality of who we are and how we're moving. And so as we look at this, we're not going to try to take apart the entire book of Revelation, and we're certainly not going to try to identify, you know, Which nation is this and which nation is that, and what coalition will this be, and what date and time will this happen in, and, you know, who are the two witnesses? We're not trying to take all of those things apart. We want you to focus on the overarching truth of it all, of this, not an end, but a happily ever after that God is birthing into us, that brings us a hope of glory, that we will share the glory of this hope that we have in Christ Jesus with everyone, everywhere, every day. And so as we do that, there are three things that we just want to touch on, and we're gonna go back and revisit each one. But mark these down, if you will. The finish is more important than the start. We'll talk about that in just a second. The finish is more important than the start. There's that one passage about Paul writing about a guy named Demas, and he says, you know what? And it's from a heartbreaking kind of place. You can almost see tears in the guy's eyes when he says, Demas has forsaken me because he loves this present world more than he loves the coming kingdom of God. Wow. And so is it possible to be that kind of a person? Well, yeah, because how you finish is honestly really much more important than how you start. And so the finish is more important than the start. The second thing we really want to focus on is that both the pathway and the place are Jesus. You know, he is the way, he's the truth, he's the life. The star of the show is Jesus. The meaning of the book of Revelation is Jesus. Doesn't matter who the nations are and who rumbles and who tumbles and who stumbles and who bumbles. The reality is Christ is coming again. Christ is going to establish his kingdom on the earth. It is the reign and the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he is the pathway and he is the place. He is the man. Hallelujah. And the third thing that we want to just kind of focus on for a few minutes today with you is that you begin to understand time in a more proper perspective, because time is a treasured piece of eternity. It's the one handleable moment that you have of an eternal reality, an eternal life. And if you don't think about the eternal impacts in time in this moment, then you're gonna make some bad moves in your lifetime. And you're gonna be subject to some massive temptations. You know, this, it's never gonna get better than this. You're gonna be this sad or this sick forever. This is never gonna change. That's a lie from the enemy. Time only makes sense as it's a part of this big, huge, eternal plan of God. And so we want to unpack all of those today. And the first one, let me just take a moment. We'll probably both talk about both of these because we get too excited not to, quite frankly. But the finish is more important than the start. I want you to capture these two concepts. God has called us to and reserved for us, the Bible says, an eternal inheritance. We are inheritors. We are co-heirs with Christ of the fullness, all the glory that is his, he intends to share with us. And we don't earn our way in. We're gifted. We are gifted because he's the one who owns it. And we are inheritors with him. And so we inherit this awesome, glorious, no death, no crying, no sorrow, no parting, no limitation lifestyle, this massive beyond measure, something that nothing upon the earth and nothing in our histories could ever qualify for us to be able to say, oh, this is like that. The things that he has prepared for us are not like any of that. But the Holy Spirit is going to bring us into these things. He's going to put us into these places. So we are being called to an inheritance, and that inheritance is absolutely awesome. It is absolutely awesome. And it causes us, it should cause us, to be just celebrating all of the time. We are so excited about, you know, I'm not worried about today. Everything has to work out today. Everything's got to be just perfect today. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Christ is coming. Christ is coming. And if for right now it looks like evil is prevailing, trust me, it's not going to win. The enemy doesn't win. You know, there's darkness everywhere you look in the world. Yeah, but the Spirit of the Lord is being outpoured. God has a plan. There's an end to this. Well, what if the heathen rage and the kingdom of magic and all their vanities? God sits in the heaven and laughs at them. Why? Because he sees the end from the beginning. This is not the end. The end is a celebratable, glorious event. So there's this eternal inheritance that God has provided at the finish line. But there also is, and this is equally important and equally glorifying to God, there is also an eternal judgment. There is an eternal judgment for those who do not accept the free gift of God. If you do, the wrath of God passes from you. If you believe in Christ, you are born of God. You are saved from destruction and wrath. If you refuse to believe, the scripture says the wrath of God abides on you and there's nothing left for you except for this fearful understanding that your days are going to be numbered. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to live forever. You're going to live forever, but you're going to live in torment. You're going to live in suffering. And because there's an eternal judgment as well as this eternal inheritance, this eternal judgment is not awesome. It's awful. Yeah. It is just absolutely, it glorifies God. Because he doesn't just give everybody a pass. Evil does not go unpunished.
This is the gloriousness of God. He said, I'll have mercy on who I have mercy, but I'm not in any way just saying, it doesn't count. There will be a judgment, and it will be an eternal judgment, and it'll be awful. But this is really, honestly, it's not something that we as Christians should celebrate. This is something, though, that we should use as a motivation. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and it's a really cool passage, by the way. You read the whole chapter, and he's talking about his commitment to sharing the reconciling mercies of God with everybody, you know, sharing this good news of Christ and the plan of God. He says, because we know the terror of the Lord, we know that there's an eternal end that is awful, as well as the eternal end that is awesome. And we don't want anybody to go to awful. We want everybody to experience awesome. And knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We share this faith and this grace with everyone, everywhere, every day.
You know, I think it's easy for people to be in a place where they take an Old Testament king example, where basically he knew that because of the prophet, the judgment was going to happen in his day. And he was more than happy to pass it off to his children or his children's children. And I think it's as you come to know Christ, you begin to celebrate about this inheritance that says, hey, I know what's in store for me, but I've grown to the place where I know what's in store for those who are around me. And I don't want to just go through life passing off going, well, judgment is for them. And I think a lot of times we miss the starting place. And the starting place is always Jesus. Jesus, you have to help me love those who are unlovable. I need your love to love those who are destined for destruction without you. And so as you begin to pray that, something's going to happen in your heart. What's going to happen in your heart is that the love of Jesus is going to grow. It's going to expand because he's going to not just show you the awfulness of what's in store, but you're going to grow in the love of the potential of them stepping into their inheritance. It doesn't matter if they're 15, 50, or 85. The moment they turn to Jesus and say, yes, I shed and die to my old life and give my life to you anew, they're on their way. They're stepping into that inheritance because there is no other pathway than Jesus. He is our pathway. In fact, there are people that think when they think about eternity, they think that that's something far off. But Jesus, when we receive Jesus, we receive eternity. Eternity comes into our hearts. So we start walking with a newness that says that, well, that this body may die before Jesus comes back, but it's not an end. And it's just another mile marker in what I now have of eternity. And because he is the pathway, now we can begin to look up. Because our redemption, I think Luke says that our redemption draws nigh, it's getting close. So we look for him to lead us into that next place. We look for him to lead us into a life with him forever. And of course, that's what we're longing for, and it's what we're looking for. But he's also the place. It's in him. We will forever be in him. And because we're in him, we receive the Spirit of Christ in us. And here's the thing. When we receive our new glorified bodies, we're going to still have the Spirit in us. Because Jesus said he will forever be with us. Yes. There's going to be this intimacy that we have with the Lord that we receive and will get to enjoy throughout all of eternity. And so it's this dynamic that we begin to grow in, and then it's fully expressed when we receive our heavenly bodies. But as we move towards that, as we look towards that, now the moment that we recognize that time is a treasured piece of eternity.
Yeah. Yeah, you said it really well. And I just want to go back and just park there for a second and celebrate that. You know, if when we think about the future, sometimes the idea is, well, when's it going to happen? You know, and if I could just get a handle on then I'll wait till we get right down and the clock is ticking for the last final few seconds. And boy, then I'll scurry and I'll get everything right. You know, I can't even imagine thinking that way, because When you know Jesus, when you are in a living, vital relationship with Christ right here, right now, this is that eternity. This is that reality that the substance of this isn't going to change. This is the substance of the stuff that I'm going to live in and have forever. There are things that are going to change. The bodies will change. There are things that are going to, there are changes. But the reality of the pathway and the person of Christ, the reality of the relationship that we have with Jesus. And so here's the truth. You want to get ready? Get to know Jesus. Live in him. Move in him. Let him live in you. Let him move in you. Now, every day, in every moment, in every relationship, seek to be in a living, vital faith with Christ and this living Christ-like relationship, you and him, him and you. This is the reality. I promise you, if you live that way every day, you'll be ready. The coming of Christ will not sneak up on you. That you'll not be going, oh, I need to go do something to get ready. You won't. In fact, you'll probably be one going, really? Wow, that was quick. That was really quick. Because we're moving and living in this thing called time, but we're doing it as a part of our eternal life. And that there's that third point that we just want to make with you. Time only makes sense as we understand eternity. That's why one of our commitments in the Christ life is what we call it urgency. We call it passion. And we don't apologize for the sense that we have of urgency and passion because we understand time in the light of eternity. This is the little moment that I have right now that's my chunk of eternity in which I can minister right here, right now. I won't have this in the next 25 seconds. It's right here. It's right now. That's what time is. We need to kind of see this because there's a cool thing about time. There's an equality that kind of comes to everyone. Everybody has time. I have lots of people who will come and they'll kind of say, oh, I hate to ask you to do such and so because, you're busy or you're something. And that's some just perception that some people will have. And I always answer them the same thing. I have nothing but time. I'm nothing but. I have 24 hours. I have as much time today as Bill Gates does. He's probably going to use it differently. And if he spends money, he'll probably get some different things that I will never be able to get in this time. But here's the truth. He doesn't have any more time than I have. You don't have any more time. For all the time-saving devices you may own, you still don't have more time. Somebody said it this way, and I love this picture. They took the seconds that there are, 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour. That's 3,600 seconds in an hour. And then for a 24-hour period, that totals out to 86,400 seconds in a 24-hour day. Now, imagine this. Every day, I'm going to give you $86,400. It's going to appear mystically, boom, in your account. And you must spend it. Every bit of it before 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. Now, another 86,400 is going to appear then. But if you only spend 46,000, there's not going to, that other 40,000 isn't going to be there. It's just not. It'll be 86,400 because it's time. You can't save it. You can't put it aside. You can't wait for the rainy day or the sunny day to be able to spend it. You're going to have to spend it every day. You're going to have to invest it. Because this is time and that we have, there's an equality about it. But that is what makes every moment a significant special opportunity. This is my moment. This is my, here's the terms that the scripture uses, kairos and chronos. Chronos is the ticking of the clock. It's the ticking of time. Whereas kairos is the person who sees this is a divine moment. This is an opportunity that I'm not going to have this again because God and I are here for just such a time, a kairos, as this. And if we can understand that moment in time, that will help us to spend our time, I think, more effectively.
And life is real funny this way, that when you're young, you look forward. And as you get older, you tend to look back. And I really believe that there are so many people that when it comes to the time they have, they think more about the wasted time. They think more of the mistakes that have led to the moment they're at in their life. But Jesus really is the Redeemer. Yeah. And I love the story that he told of the parable of all the workers coming, those that came at the beginning of the day and those that came in the middle and those that came about an hour before closing. And when it was over, he paid them all the same. Now, there's a number of lessons he's in there, but here's the thing about Jesus. You can trust that he will give you what is good when you spend your time for him. And so move into the moments that Jesus has. Listen to those moments and then allow others to look forward to happy endings, glory of hope, hope of glory.
Amen.
We hope that this video has blessed you. If it has, will you hit the subscribe button below or the like button? You could also share it with your friends, or you could put a prayer request up on our prayer wall. As always, have a blessed week, and we hope to see you soon.